Please, let's kick in. We'll be in Genesis chapter 26 today. Now, last week, we examined Genesis 25. And please, I would like to recall, have us recall to mind some very crucial things I said then. If you're not around last week, I really encourage you to get a copy of it because the good Lord has directed my mind back to something or my attitude towards these teachings. In the last, many months now, I'm not going as strictly on exegesis as I thought I had planned to, but I think it's more important that we still use each scripture to edify ourselves, all right? So on that last week, I really talked in details about, one, why God insisted on, I was just reviewing something about the wife of Isaac coming from a particular area. Certain things led to that. We were talking about the Midianites and all of that. That's what began it. And then we now went ahead to speak extensively in details about the principle behind the sale of the birthright of Esau to Jacob. Please don't forget that. I don't want to go over it again. It's so important. That sale was a summary of a lifestyle. Are you getting my point? That sale did not determine his life. All right? His life was determined before then because the Bible called him, in the book of Hebrews, he called him a profane or a godless man. All right? That's the kind of... It wasn't the sale that made him profane, but he sold because he was profane. Are you getting my point? He sold because he was a godless man. And that sale was a manifestation of that lifestyle. And that's one thing we must understand about life. Things that we see physically are manifestations of things that are deep inside. On Saturday, I'll continue again on the law of faith. You will find out, just like I explained, there's a difference between the root and the fruit. Well, last time I talked about I titled the message the root of faith. That is faith being a fruit, but then there's a root beneath it. And here also, the problem, there was a root in the heart of Esau, which was godlessness, which is an independence of God. That is, it's not that it's as if the guy was a bad person, what you and I would call bad, all right? But, you know, a typical good, let's say, European today, all right? A typical good European who is not a believer is what the Bible calls a godless man. He may never steal, but still a godless man. The CMD of the hospital where I did my house job, he was a believer when I spoke with him, but before then, he wasn't a Christian. But once I was chatting with him, and he said then, as the CMD of the hospital, that he never, one naira like this, he never took. He never he never inflated any contract. He didn't take any kickback of kick center or kick forward from anybody. But what was his reason? He told me. He said it was a matter of pride. He felt he was too big to be stealing nonsense money. He wasn't a Christian, no. But for him, how can you insult me with bribe, you know? To him, it wasn't a matter of godliness. Because the man was a proud man. Very, very proud man. Very full of himself. He really was. And he said it, that for him, it was out of pride that he never tried to make. Because he used to do very difficult surgeries. I mean, he used to do tubar surgery. He used to do things like that. And he made his money from practicing. He's a gynecologist. Practicing his profession. And he felt like it's beneath him. All right? Because if you make the contractor talk to him tomorrow as if they are mates, and he and the contractor, they are not mates in any form. You understand my point? And so a godless man can still be morally sound in society. He can still be. All right? So I discussed that last week. I don't want to go over that again. So that was what was manifested by the sale to Jacob. And as we will see later, in Jacob's case, Jacob took the opportunity that was presented to him because his mind was always on getting that birthright. He wanted it. So an opportunity was presented and he took advantage of it. Are you getting my point? When he sold the birthright to Esau, it wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't taking advantage of a man who was in distress. That was not distress. It was hunger. Are you getting my point? You sell somebody as something as great as that, it's because you can't see. We discussed that one on Saturday. God didn't give him the vision, the ability to understand the importance of that birthright. By the time he was able to comprehend it later, the Bible said then he sought for repentance, and he looked for repentance. But even though he sought it earnestly with tears, there was no place found anymore. All right? By that time, he was beginning to realize the importance of it. Now, let's go on now in verse 1 of chapter 26. He said, now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. Now, the Lord appeared to him. Now, obviously, he wasn't going to Gerar. He was on his way somewhere else. Are you getting the point? Because the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. He says, sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants, I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father, Abraham. He said, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. The reason he said is because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac lived in Gerar. Now, I want you to understand something here. God gave him an instruction which was, in my opinion, you can see that it's inferred, is simply, that the man was heading towards Egypt and because of famine. Do you understand? And God told him that, no, don't forget his father went to Egypt. You know his father went to Egypt. All right? And that was where he got Hagar from. And don't forget our discussion on Hagar. Hagar's walk. Do you get my point? Hagar's work. That's why in life they must never tell you about his results. It's not results. So. You get my point? It's not results. How the results came, it's very important. I was discussing somebody recently. There's something that a friend was doing. I said, the way this guy is going about this thing is not right. I said, even if he succeeded in doing it, as far as I will ever remember, the way this thing was done is not right. And in fact, Paul said that it's the day of judgment that you will know. Anybody can build. He says, when fire begins to burn, that you know whether they built with concrete or they built with straw. You can paint it and make it look any. I mean, you've not been to a place where they paint the wall. You think it's solid concrete. When you tap it, you realize it is wood. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Now, so it's not results. That's how Hagar came. Hagar's get results. Now, to prevent something similar to that, God intercepted this man on the way and said, no, don't go down to Egypt, but stay in a land where there is famine. Now, because you must understand this, and that's something about Christianity. I always say this. The Christianity that doesn't have hope, that doesn't have an expectation, is not Christianity, it's another religion. All right? You are not practicing the faith that is of Christ. The Bible says to us very clearly in Hebrews chapter 11, it said, faith has an expectation. It said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That hope, I must say this again, is not, faith is the substance of things wished for. Faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. That is, when a man has an expectation, that is the meaning of the word hope, then you say, why are you so sure this is going to happen? He said, I am the father of many nations, as a name, Abraham, even though I don't have a son yet, it's because God has spoken and I have believed it. So his expectation is founded upon his faith. Are you getting my point? Therefore, if a woman doesn't have any expectation in life, then he or she does not have faith. Your faith must always produce for you an expectation. Now, we've been talking about the law of faith in our Saturday teachings, and I've said this again and again, and let me repeat it again. Faith means that you understand that there is a realm in life that is beyond the one that you can see. That is, in science or normal life, we describe five senses, all right, with which you communicate with the physical realm. And then people talk about the sixth sense, which actually when they say it, they mean that, look, sometimes you perceive something that does not have any reflection. There's nothing physical around to indicate why that thing is coming to your mind. So they say it's the sixth sense. Now, a Christian should understand that there is, whether you use sixth sense or not, but there is a realm that is beyond the one that the five senses can relate with. And that realm is just as real as the one that he can touch, feel, smell, or see, or hear. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And therefore, when he's making decisions, those things are part of the things that, well, these are things that you add to your decision-making processes. Are you getting my point? That it to you is just as real. That is, somebody will say that, why are you not doing this the way everybody would do it? He said, it is because I believe that God, and you have a strong reason for saying that. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is not, you know, some people use God to escape from their responsibilities. No, I just need to clear that. That is, why are you not going to work today? When I woke up this morning, I didn't feel led by the Spirit to go to work. That is nonsense. Do you understand? The only time I will accept that from you is that when I got up, a strong feeling came upon me, which I believe was the Spirit of God, that said, don't go today. Because normal, and you can't use that for me, except you're a regular goer. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? We only accept that from those who go normally. You don't do somebody who doesn't want to go, finding me an excuse of the Spirit. Do you follow what I'm saying? Having put that one aside, the believer knows that the realm of the Spirit exists and is actually a strong part of his determinations in life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so why am I saying all of this? There was famine in the land. All right? There was famine in the land. Now, in this particular situation, rain is not falling and all of that. These are things that the man could feel, could relate to, he could see, he could hear the stories about them. But God now gave him something about the realm of the Spirit, a promise, a word from God, which told him, don't go down into Egypt. Because the going down into Egypt was a natural response, all right, to the situation around. I mean, this thing is very practical, very relevant to us in Nigeria today. I mean, a young man, you are walking in Nigeria, and suddenly a door opens. What happened? You suddenly walk one American visa lottery. And it makes sense to everybody that that's the way to go. Why? Not because they are evil people, but because they believe there is famine in the land, all right? And therefore, you should go down to Egypt. Now, this is what makes a believer a believer. I said something about faith in our previous teachings, that you see, faith is built up in the heart that has a correct spiritual, or let me put the word, the right spirit, okay? And when we're talking about spirit, I said that, now, there is a fact that you have a human spirit that's inside you. There is a fact that there is a Holy Spirit that God has poured inside you. But when we are talking about the spirit a lot of times, it refers to the effect that this spirit we have talked about has in your life. That is your motivation for doing things, as an example. You are getting what I'm going to say. So a man who is walking according to a particular motivation, trying to impact his generation, will begin to see things that normal people don't see. Do you get my point? Now, what happened to Isaac here was that he was a man of promise, and God was going to use him to do certain things in life. Are you getting my point? Now, because of that, God, and he was walking according to that. He was somebody who feared the God of his father Abraham. When Jacob was going to talk about him, remember what he said about him? When he was going to talk about Laban, he said, "Were you not that the God of my father Abraham and the fear of Isaac was with me?" That is, God was describing the life of Isaac as the fear of Isaac. So Isaac was somebody who respected that covenant of God and who respected the God of his father. Now, because of that, God could open his eyes to see. And what did God allow him to see here? He told him that if he will stay in this land and not go down to Egypt. Please, I'm not going to bring up something about faith here again. He said, if you stay in this land and not go down to Egypt, then I will assuredly bring upon you, let me summarize, the promise that I gave to your father Abraham. Now, listen, what I'm saying this is this. If you ask me as an example, you may hear me talk something that I don't believe that living in the United States is more comfortable than Nigeria. No. Now, that's a matter of personal perception. I have never lived in the United States. Do you follow my point? All right. So, now listen to this. It is easy for me to amplify. Now, because, see, balance is the key to life, it Cole says. All right? It's easy for me to amplify the problem of the Americans because I don't want to go there. Yes. I have to remind myself that I don't want to live in the country. So somebody tell me that, we have to walk from 6 a.m. to 12 midnight. I said, see, the man wants to walk till he dies. Now, I remind myself of that every day, that I am not going to walk till I drop. But you know, the basic thing is the spirit. That one is a fruit. You know what I said on Saturday? That's a fruit. The root is that I don't want to go. Are you getting the point? Now, let's forget I don't want to go. Why don't I want to go? That is the question. You like suffering? No. I told you that God does not at all like suffering. That is, God doesn't like suffering. He never suffers. He doesn't like to give people suffering. The only thing he says is that while you are working for me, you must do what? Endure suffering. Are you following my point? You must endure what? Hardship. So for me, therefore, maybe I will, it's natural. I will amplify, well, partly because you have to balance the other one. People are always amplifying the problems of the country and downplaying the problems abroad. Then so it's my job, therefore, to amplify the good things in the country and amplify the bad things abroad. Just let's have a balanced playing field. But let's, now, having put these things in mind, you mustn't forget this. The basic thing is, now, I want to use me as an example, personally. The basic thing is that I believe very strongly by understanding that this, God has shown me this from the studying the scriptures and by inspiration over the years, that no good place appears from heaven. None. Good places appear, they exist in the heavens. What the Bible calls the will of God. That's what they are. You can't see them naturally, but they exist in the heavens. They have been described on paper. And God now cut that paper into pieces. The good place in the heavens. And drops pieces of those pieces of that paper, right? There's a scroll. God has cut into pieces. Each person has his own detailed portion of it. And drops it into different hearts, into different lives. And then they are born. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then each person is supposed to express the piece that is inside his heart so that when we all express, the puzzle now fits and then we have created the perfect place in heaven on the earth. That's my attitude. So I understand that no matter how much some young men and young women in Nigeria are laboring and praying, let's start from praying. They are praying very hard, okay, to solve Nigerian problems. If somebody like me carrying an important piece of the puzzle doesn't release my own, the thing would never be complete. Are you getting my point? And don't ever forget this. There is what is called Judgment Day. You know, I think we should start preaching that message. There is Judgment Day. We are ready from Revelation 21. Books are opened. And I said there are two groups of books opened. The first group of books are books that describe what God expects you to do. So those ones are opened. Then another one will be open for your life, which records what happened after you had come and you had gone. They don't record sin. Look, don't think that David killed Uriah's wife. Sorry, is it Uriah he killed now, his wife? One of the two, I married the other one. Okay? He said that they don't record that one. No, it's why with the Christian, it's not recorded. What they record are the things he did for God and the ones he refused to do. Then they compare the two. That's the basis of judgment. What is the part of sin? Sin makes it impossible for you to do the will of God. Like unforgiveness does not allow you to have faith, and even if you have faith, it hinders the manifestation of what God has given you. In the same manner, sin in the heart does not allow you to see. When people become short, all right, of God's glory, they become like Lazarus. You know, Lazarus, is it Lazarus now? Who's that short guy? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had to climb a tree so he could see. That is, a short man can't see. Do you get what I'm saying? Figuratively speaking, you get my point. All right? So that was the problem with Zacchaeus. So somebody used this one to describe something to me. That when we say that we have all become short of God's glory, that is, we have become short. Now we can't see. You are getting the point? That is, if you don't see, you can't have faith. If you don't have faith, what God wants to produce through your life cannot be done on the earth because they are all done by faith. That's the effect of sin. You are following the point I'm making here. So why is it that you say that, okay, you don't want to relocate from Nigeria? It's not because relocation is an evil thing. It is because I believe, all right? I'm fully persuaded. I have no reason to think otherwise. God has created me with a particular important piece of that puzzle. Are you getting my point? Which one we are creating the beautiful place, another beautiful place on this earth, I must put my own down for the place to be created. It's because I see myself as an important person in life. I don't mean that I'm a big guy. When I'm walking on the road, people are saying, Baba, okay, hey, Baba, he has come, he has come. I just mean that I have a crucial part to play. In fact, right now I feel it because, you know, the kind of word I preach now, I just see the thing having effect. I go lie down, I will just think, as he's blessing people. Right now, one of the prayers I pray, when I just wake up, I say my prayers all the time. Sometimes I just wake up at night and I want to be, what am I praying for? I'm praying for everybody that's believing the words that I'm speaking, that God, I beg, quickly, breakthrough upon them. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Cause their lives to, I mean, God, dethrone people and enthrone them. You know what I'm going to say? So I know how important I am. I know the devil is very angry with me. There's nothing he can do. He's just, and what he's trying to do is temptation. You know what I mean by temptation? Forget the word, forget the word. A friend of mine called me this morning and we're speaking. And I told him that, look, before you make any... He told me himself that I realized that all this talk I've been talking is because I've not been hearing the proper things. I told him something. I know I'm digressing to help you. He said, I know I have to make a decision this week. I said, listen, don't make any decision. I said, decisions actually are not made by you. They are made for you. You just think you make them. This is what I mean. That what you call a decision is a final product of many equations that has been going on in your heart. I said, so when certain factors are absent, you make the wrong decision. It's not you. It's just what's been presented to you. Are you getting my point? So I said, wait, don't make it yet. I will send you 3 MP3 CDs containing 19 to 20 radio messages each. Listen to them first, then make your decision. That we must balance the equation. Are you getting my point? You have been hearing people say, country is bad, things are rough, this is a problem. You heard all of that. I said, wait, let me tell you the other side. Let me give you the word of God. When you have, and he's somebody who likes to hear me teach, all right? I said, when you have listened to that, then make the decision. Actually, you are not making the decision. The thing is being made for you. What is making it? All the information you have heard. The only part you have to play in deciding in life, shall I tell you, is to accept one information and reject the other. That's all. You don't make decisions, though. They are made for you. Life makes decisions for you, you know. No, that's just a fact. Life makes decisions. So that is, all the things put together, they crystallize spontaneously. So what remains in your heart, like, okay, this is what I will do, which you think is your decision, is actually a resultant force from all the forces of information that has been added to your heart. So you see, that's how it is. You really don't make a decision, all right? It's many factors that make that decision for you. So that's why you must have information. Kai, you must have information. You must have information. You must have information. Because information is what you use to decide. All right? And you remember what I said? You don't really decide. It's just get the information. The decision is made for you. You are getting the point I'm making. Now, so for me, I was telling about the importance of my personal life. Now, please, when I say things like this, I expect that you also have a message to preach about your own life. You understand? I'm just using me because I'm the preacher. So I'm supposed to be an example. You understand? Paul said, the things that you have both heard and seen in me, the same thing do. Okay? Uh-huh. So I'm supposed to be an example. That's why I'm talking about me now. Right? Because God has a plan for everybody's life. Okay? Just as I have an important part in that puzzle, you also have an important part. And if you have that attitude in mind, it will decide how you move and how you don't move. You get my point? So what decides how I move is the fact that I realize, I'm convinced in my heart that I say, okay, go, things are better here. I said, I know. But the kingdoms of the world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. That is, every part of this earth belongs to Christ Jesus. That is, we are the ones that will go and take over every corner of life for him. And I see where I am right now. I mean, the way, putting everything together, it's as if this is the time to take over this particular area for me. Are you getting me? Therefore, I will not run, you know, because of the inconveniences. I said that God doesn't like pain. He does not minister pain per se, but he expects you to endure pain. All right? He only uses suffering and problems to bring you to a particular situation, position. He said that I have purified you not as silver, but what he was saying is that I have purified you as gold. One brother preached that message when I went to Sokoto sometime last year, and he explained, that was the first time I saw it, that there's a difference between the purification of silver and the purification of gold. Gold goes through a different kind of fire. So God said, look, I have purified you not as silver, but as gold. That's what he was saying. That there are things I have taken you through so as to remove every form of impurity from your life. So that by the time you come out, you'll be able to reflect my glory perfectly. Are you getting my point? So now when you have this kind of attitude, I said that's what faith is. You have this kind of attitude. One problem becomes, you just look at it as another of those afflictions that a man must pass through to get to the glory. There's a series we are doing on radio now. It's a very basic and simple series. That's what to do in the time of affliction. You understand? So you just know each time one pain comes up, we know that it is something that we just have to pass through. Paul said to the second Thessalonians, he said, listen, that this your perseverance in the midst of affliction is a sign that you are being, you know, qualified for the kingdom of God. Are you getting my point? I like something Pastor Kpoju said. I was watching him on TV. That was on Sunday afternoon. And he said something that was so true. Because when he said, this is, of course, if I say it now, you know that I have preached some things along the way. But then these are different ways by which you put some, bring out the truth, and it makes it so, so beautiful, you understand? You even become sure of what he has said before. He said that there was never anybody that came to Jesus Christ with a desire, and he said that, no, you can't have that one. Go. He said no, that even when the desire looks so selfish and so centered and like vainglorious, that's what I was looking for. He said, for example, the disciples were asking, who will be the greatest? All of us are here together now. We are all sitting around the table. You know, one day, we'll have to elevate his stool. Maybe Jesus would have gone there. Who will be the greatest amongst them all? Peter looked and said, who's older than I am here? Put up your hand. John said, oh, guys, not by age. No, John was a small boy. It's not by age. Ah, how can you just say it's by age? Okay, who's the closest to the Lord? Who sits right beside him? Who leans on him? Who does he answer his question all the time? Are you getting my point? Anyway, so he said that while they were saying that, Jesus now came, of course. They all said, oh, he said, we didn't say anything. He now gave them, he didn't say, why should people be so vainglorious? No, you know, he didn't say that. He said, whosoever will be the greatest amongst you, he must be the servant of all. Are you getting my point? Two guys came and said, let us sit on your left and on your right. Said, you guys, you're serious about that? Say, you sure you want to do it? Well, I can't promise, but, you know, if it is now, if you came to me now and said, Pastor, you see, when we go to Gospel from Africa, I want to sit on your left and on your right. I will look at this man. Look at him. He's not even a serious Christian. All he's thinking about is the glamour. You know, that's the way I would think about it. Eh? So it's when we go on TV, you now want to sit on my left. Why don't you want to even sit on my left and my right now when we're not on TV? You know, in my mind, I know we like you again. Because I feel that ambition is your problem. You know, Jesus didn't answer like that. It was when Pastor Paul said this on TV, I said, oh, this is so true, guys. Sometimes you think you're very holy and right. You don't know you're a wicked man yourself. He answered him, how did he answer? He just gave them the conditions and said, if you can fulfill it, then you're a good candidate. Are you getting my point? And now, this is what I have preached and you understand. That I've explained that, you see, God gives you a vision, all right? He doesn't tell you the problems you go through between here and there. He doesn't. You know what he expects? As you jam them, you solve them. You follow what I'm saying? God, and that's what happened to the Israelites. You go to the land that has milk and honey. Then on the road, if you see scorpion, kill it. You know, are you getting what I'm saying? If you see giants, move them aside. If you see thirst, if you get thirsty, pray to God and he will give you water. Are you getting my point? But one thing you must never do is to say, I'm going back down back to Egypt just because the road is rough. You are following my point. Now, what I'm trying to say here, that is, in the sufferings and afflictions like famine time like this that Isaac was experiencing, what was actually happening is that God is purifying people like gold. Are you following my point? And then Paul said they are being qualified in that process for the kingdom. Are you getting my point? So if you see, maybe James and, who are the two people who wanted to sit on the left hand? James and John, all right? If you see them being whipped and being hung on the cross, just like Jesus Christ, say, what is going on? They just look at say, oh, boy, they say we must do this one to be able to sit on the left and on the right. So we're on our way to sitting on the left and the right. Say, me, I can never take it to. Say, that's you. But you will never sit on the left or on the right. So you just sit about 10 kilometers away. You will still make it there, but you'll be very, very far. Are you following the point? All right? And that's just the thing about problems in life. So now, but you handle and tackle all those problems. Why God gives you a vision is that the Bible said that for the joy that was set before him, okay, Jesus did what? He endured the cross, despising the shame. There was a vision in front of him that he was seeing that made him able to endure the cross and despise the shame. And he understood one thing, that this vision that I am seeing, this glorious place we are going to, there are no two ways to get there. There's only one way. Do you follow my point? Because if there was another way, the Lord would have given it to us. Like I told you, God doesn't enjoy problems. He doesn't like giving people troubles, but he expects that they should endure the troubles if it is necessary that it comes. Because that was how Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed like this. He said that, dear Lord, you should say, no other way around this thing. You know, must we go through this cross? Are you getting my point? He said, nevertheless, let your will be done, not mine. What God was saying in effect is that if there was another way, we would have used it. If we have to use this one this difficult, it is because it's the only way to get to that particular place. You get what I'm trying to say here. So that's the issue about life. We must understand that. So not going down to Egypt. Now that's where this OG started from, Egypt, movement to Egypt. When people are making decisions, why don't I go Egypt, like go to America, go to Australia, go to this thing, go to this and play, all these places where life is easier. We are not saying that we love suffering. Are you getting me? No, we are saying that your decisions are made based on information. And personally, I feel like, no, we must take another kingdom for God. That a time will come when people will also start rushing down. I mean, people used to run to Nigeria at the time. You know that. Remember, Ghana must go. We now know Ghana must go because there was a time Ghana came. Do you understand my point? There was a time Ghana must come. And then finally, one day Nigeria said, no, Ghana must go. Ghana didn't go because we drove Ghana physically. They went because economic hardship. They now realized that, look, things are not better here than they are at home. The guys began to relocate. And I believe very strongly that you can build up a nation and that what we call luxury in Nigeria now, that we are complaining is not so good. Maybe things like, say, in the 60s, this was the way our roads were. In the 60s, I still remember my mother was telling me stories those days, of when they would sit at home, they would send them catalogs. Then you order things from there, and then you will pick them in the post office. And it used to be like dreams of heaven. That maybe when she was young, she used to dream about heaven. No, I'm serious. You tell me that those days they just get catalogs with all kinds of names. All these, you know, those trading companies have been there in here. Of course, most of them English. Of course, those days. As I said, they used to buy things from. Just take it. And you know, it was like country was good that time. But you know, when I grew up now, I realized that no. When the white man built up an extension of Great Britain here, do you understand my point? That was when you enjoyed that. Then after he left, his momentum carried the nation for a while. Are you getting me? And then it's ended. Then the spiritual climate of the black man, the descendant of Ham, it took over. And we declared to the whole world, in us lie no good thing. I was listening to Derek Prince today as I was driving back from work. Derek Prince said he believes there is a strong man that presides over the nation of the black men. He said that strong man has not been properly tackled. He said he was talking in America. That's why certain problems still. When he said that, you know, out of information, if you have much information, I just knew what he was talking about. That because American blacks, it's a reality that they are amongst the lowest social economic class in the United States. It's a fact. That is why they celebrate the few successes that come out from there. Most black millionaires made it from entertaining white men. You know what I mean? You sing for them, you play basketball for them, you run for them. It's still servants of servants. No, just as servants. Look, they used to have court jesters. Court jesters were not serious people. Princes were never court jesters. Derek Prince said, there is a strong man. When he said it there, I knew what he was talking about. That is the one that makes, any man wants to rise, it will keep him down. Say, you're not going anywhere. Now, why am I saying this? Are you saying there's no hope for you? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there is only one hope. And that is who? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the one that has removed all the handwriting of ordinances. When Noah said, a servant of servants will they be? Jesus said, not here. Are you getting my point? They said, maybe one descendant of Cush appeared. With the same curse upon Canaan, upon his own father also. He said, we want to become something great. This is a spiritual battle now. He said, you can't be. He said, why not? They present the certificate of the curse written against him. As they are handing it down, before it gets down to him, a hand comes and snatches it. Pours blood upon it. He said, this was the blood I shed for the guy. And the paper dissolves and vanishes. He said, now, do you have anything else to tell me on why this guy cannot be great in life? Then all the enemies, they start dropping their stones, the accusers, and they start disappearing one by one. He says, son, has nobody condemned you? He says, sir, they not get liver. You are getting the point? And I believe very strongly that there must be a demonstration of that righteousness. That is why redemption for the land. You see, every land is redeemed by the people on it. Are you getting my point? It's the blessedness inside them that spreads onto the earth. When a man was cursed, God said, cursed be the earth because of you. Are you getting my point? So when the man is blessed, what does that tell us? Blessed be the earth because of you. Now, you see, if I believe this, I can't be tossed to and fro by economic hardship. I can't be. I see myself as a soldier. We must face this thing. Nigeria was bad, it's now it was good, it's now bad. Now it's not true. Nigeria was never good. The extension of Britain was good. When Britain rolled back, we saw the blackness upon the nation. And God allowed them to roll back so as to give the opportunity, all right, for the manifestation of life that he began to inject onto this earth. You never heard of Pa Elton? All the great men you talk about in Nigeria today, we're talking about ministry great men, all of them were influenced by this man. From W.F. Kumi to the late Archbishop Benson in Dahosa, even Bishop David Oyedepo, what's the name of the Redeemed? All those guys. If you saw how God moved the gospel, you watch how God used people like Babalola, who could hardly speak any English. The man who founded Redeemed, the guy was a stark illiterate who went to Cherubim and Seraphim in Ondo Town before the Spirit directed him to move from there and go to places. Now listen, God has been working in Nigeria, not today. From the 40s, the 60s, even before then, the work of the missionaries. Why do you think every ruler in Nigeria that's come from the south has come from the same local government area? Because that was where the missionaries first landed in Nigeria. I'm telling you. Where the Ifa priests announced ahead of time to the Aoba there that the gods said, we should tell you that certain messengers are coming from afar, we must receive them. Those missionaries were received with open arms. Because they look, all these things must have effect. Every time you want to cast out Satan, he must always agitate. He will rig election, or he will cause riot, he will blow pipeline. He shows Satan is on his way out. Now listen, I preach this thing. If I believe it, woe betide me if I run away from the center of activity. So is America a bad country? No. As God lives, it is not. In fact, we have to read their history. Are you getting my point? Now, I was thinking about it a few days ago. I said, no. I have to buy. I went to Amazon.com. I was checking for some books. There are books I must read. I found almost 90% of them are from America. Now, I wanted to read some history, some great men, a lot of things. That is, these guys have threaded those paths before. Are you getting my point? Let's see how they walked. Read Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. He says, stand by the ways and seek and ask, he said, for the good path. Let me use my own words. Where some great men walked ahead of time. Jeremiah 6, 16. He said, you will find rest for your souls. Are you getting my point? So I know that we are soldiers for Christ. That is where you endure hardship. Are you getting my point? All right. Now, it's also the school of Bible exegesis. 1 hour don't pass. We have not exegeted anything. But have you learned anything, please? All right. Now, so God appeared to him and said, don't go down to Egypt. It was because of the part he was playing in the covenant of God. And God knew that he didn't have any reason to be down in Egypt. So he said, all right, make sure you stay behind here. And there he gave him a blessing. I will bless you. So what we are saying is that we are walking, like the Bible said, in hope.